Blog Talk
Yo,
Radio.
Yo, yo, what's happening?
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah. What's going on, world?
Curtis
Happy
Jerry,
Thanksgiving.
Don't be like Rob. Curtis and Jerry. Seriously.
Oh. Yeah, we're here. We're ready.
Y'all just put it in the tag. It's all good, man. That's what we do. America,
West
world,
in the house.
We are officially welcome everyone to Talking Sports with the 12th man. We are a little pre-Thanksgiving celebration, if you will, and we're ready to get this party started, as we always like to do. I got a great story for you, too, before we get kicking. But, Jakey is about to be 10 minutes late. He is, unfortunately, following the path of Rob. He's kind of, like, taking his time, but we'll let him slide because this is his first incident, if you will.
Gary, he's not a habitual line stepper.
This joker always slides in, man. Here we go.
That was 10 minutes late.
Oh man, we'll talk to JQ whenever he jumps on too. But again, let's get this party started. I normally kick the show off to JQ, but since he's going to be joining us a little late, Rob, how you doing, bro?
Doing good, you know, Thanksgiving Eve, you got a lot to be thankful for, obviously, you know, first and foremost, thanks to my family for putting up with me.
That's true.
And loving me unconditionally, so I'm very thankful for that, and thankful for the opportunity, as always, to be doing the Sports Talk Show with you guys on a weekly basis, so a lot to be thankful for.
Gotcha. Curtis and Gary, you guys doing all right this evening, man?
Hey, we're doing good. You know, we're ready to talk some sports and get this show started. We are, you know, we're both thankful for our health and families and you guys as well. So let's get it on.
Ditto, and I appreciate the fact that you got that in a precise matter of time, too. So good job on that, too. So really quickly. Well, we have a lot to talk about, and good news for you guys, Curtis and Gary. It is going to be a lot of Dallas Cowboys stuff too. I don't know why Rob likes to torture us, but we'll go down that route. We'll have some fun, and again, we'll throw the numbers out if you are interested in calling your boys as always, or you can listen to the show later on. But the number to call into us is always the 424-243-9519. That is always the best way to reach out to us. One way via the phone line. We can also follow us on Twitter at the number 1212 MAN 12th Man Sports. Follow us on that. And then last but not least, go to facebook.com/12thmansports or Talking Sports with the 12th Man. You will find us. So we're going to kick it off with a huge upset. It's been kind of that talk. Stephen F. Austin snaps Duke's 150 game non conference win streak, man. So just a interesting play, man. You don't want to be that close. And, Rob, what do you have to say about that, man? It's kind of crazy right out the gate as far as that huge upset. Anything to kind of give to Duke? I know you're pretty happy about that, too.
Yeah, the Lumberjacks. How about the Lumberjacks? Stephen F. Austin. I tell you what, I know it's very early in the season, college basketball. But we've had a lot of big upsets in college basketball already this year. When you look at, I think it was Evansville that knocked off Kentucky. Michigan State has had some really close calls in a lot of games so far. So so far in the early part of the season, it don't look like we have a dominant team in college basketball thus far. And the small guys of small schools are in play. And a lot of that is because, you know, these schools are able to keep guys 4 and 5 years in development, and they develop that chemistry. Whereas the big-name schools that had the one-and-done kind of players, or maybe you're lucky if you keep them for 2 years. And Stephen F. Austin and the Lumberjacks get a breakaway layup at the overtime buzzer to pull off a huge upset. No team outside the ACC has been able to do this to Duke in their own arena in over 20 years. Unbelievable. 85-83 upset. Nathan Baines, coast-to-coast layup just before time expires. Obviously bringing an end to Duke's 150-game home winning streak against non-conference opponents. Obviously, I'm a Tar Heel fan, so anytime you see Duke lose, put smiles on my face. So, you know, in the words of Pharrell, I'm happy.
Yeah, nice. Same thing with Butler winning on a game-winning shot as well, too, man. So just really exciting games, too. Do you guys want to add that, Curtis?
Yeah.
Anything about the as well?
I wonder about how watered down college basketball is now. Like I said, with the one and dones, these guys that really know that they're going to be in the NBA just walking through the college game, and now what you're stuck with is a lot of also-rans. So where I'm at on this whole thing with the college basketball and a little bit of college basketball, because of these reasons of what's going on today, it's kind of hard to watch because you don't know who you're watching. You know, these guys are not familiar to you. These guys kind of didn't grow up with you like Michael Jordan and those great North Carolina teams with Brad Daugherty. And, you know, those teams I remember, Patrick Ewing being at Georgetown for 4 years and stuff like that. I kind of miss that. And for me, it's hard to even keep up with who's who year to year on everybody's basketball team. So a lot of what I could do is just try to keep up with Oregon and Oregon State. But the talk here in the Northwest is not the men's Oregon and Oregon State teams. The talk here in Oregon and the Pacific Northwest is the Oregon and Oregon State women's basketball team. They got a girl, I think her name is Sabrina Nescu, that is some kind of superstar. There's some kind of next coming. And I see that they went up and they beat one of those teams. I think they beat Connecticut up there in Connecticut early this year.
Yeah.
Well, stay on topic and go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I was just going to say the Connecticut women's basketball team was normally number one all the time. I think they're number four in the preseason so far. But, you know, those are definitely some valid points. I can honestly say there was a time when I actually became a bigger college basketball fan than an NBA fan. So I totally agree with a lot of what Curtis is saying, that right now I think college basketball is a very distant second to NBA when it comes to basketball. The NBA game just has a better flow to it, better pace to it right now. Whereas the college game is more of a walk it up and you know, the turnover in the players. As you mentioned, still a fan, obviously, but there was a time where I was probably a bigger college basketball fan than NBA, but it's definitely flipped the script, definitely a bigger NBA fan now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, but then again, you can't take anything away from this team that went in there, took care of business, and shocked the world. So congratulations.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, awesome win. Awesome to watch that last little bit.
And that's the beauty of college basketball now, though, is that when you watch the NCAA tournament, these small schools have a chance now, and I think that's the beauty of it. As long as they're not beating my Tar Heels or LSU, it's pretty beautiful.
See that beautiful sound. Here's JQ jumping on board. We're talking about the first topic too, JQ, and then also just to kind of like piggyback on what everyone said too. That is going to be interesting because I don't know if you heard about the change that the NBA is implementing. That may lead to something similar to kind of have an open 16-team format or something like that. That's going to change. It hasn't been approved yet, but that's kind of the thought as far as having this open tournament kind of similarity to, like, the college basketball game where anybody can win. So that's going to be, like I said, that's just kind of the rumors that you're hearing about that, if you will. And then finally, just to kind of, like, talk about that and let JQ jump in and give us his thoughts, is that it is interesting because if you think about college and what they're talking about doing, and maybe why are guys going to the NBA, is because of pay, because of talent, because of whatever, too. So if you kind of get that pay stuff squared away, maybe you do have the capability to keep those players a little bit more longer, if you will. But that's another conversation another time, too. So, JQ, what's up, bro? Welcome aboard.
Hey, how y'all doing, man? I'm sorry. I was I had a work at Gladiators game, and I needed to talk to a couple of folks afterwards. So apologies.
You're early
for, my
for next week, man.
Hey, I'm pulling a Rob Ford. But yeah, that Duke loss was crazy, and it's just that, you know, they had won so many games at home, you know, against, you know, non-conference opponents. That, you know, it's always going to happen. It's going to happen at some point, and you're just never going to be able to prepare yourself for it. And, you know, but not Stephen F. Austin. I mean, that last sequence was ridiculous. But you know what it helps? It helps Coach K. Because now he has those guys' attention. If he didn't have their attention before, for whatever reason, because you at Duke and you feel like you're privileged in the tower and you Duke basketball, we keep this thing rolling, now he has your attention. And Coach K quietly, as much as he's a little bit embarrassed about it, he probably was thinking, okay, now that when I drill into these guys that we got to do this, and this in practice, and in order to be successful, we got to do this, and this, they got to listen. Mm-hmm. They just lost. So yep. He's got their full attention. But, you know, it's great for college basketball. You just don't normally see this, especially against Duke, but you don't see it this early in the season. This is kind of like a March Madness, you know, first or second round kind of upset where you're like, oh, damn, the second and third seed got beat? Wow. And it happens in November. It's crazy. It's uncanny.
Yeah, we've seen it a lot early in the college basketball season right now. You saw Kentucky got lost. I mean, they lost at home. Michigan State's had some really close calls and lost as well. And so early part of this season, you've seen a lot of big-name programs getting upset here early in the season so far. Like I said, it is early, but we're seeing quite a bit of it thus far.
That's true.
Here it is. All right, Curtis and Gary, you're going to have a lot of love to talk about some things, man, because it looks like it's going to shift to the Cowboys here. A couple of questions. We're going to kick it off the gate.
Uh-oh.
Number one, and we're going to answer all of these because we're going to first talk about Jerry Jones, is he laying the groundwork to part ways with Jason Garrett? Next, NFL admits that tripping should not have been called against the Cowboys. That's very, very huge because obviously that could have changed the dynamic of the game versus the hated Patriots. And then last but not least, if that first question kicks in, is Lincoln Riley, if you will, is going to bolt for the Cowboys? So you got a lot of things to talk about, guys. But again, this is your – the world is your oyster right here. So get off, guys.
All right. Well, I want to address that, you know, the tripping situations, the two tripping situations.
Ridiculous.
It was ridiculous, and there was momentum there on the Cowboys' side. But I'm not going to say that, oh, if that wouldn't have been called, that they would have gone in and scored a touchdown. It was a tough game against a tough defense, but those were horrible calls and did not give them an opportunity to do that. I think it was heading that way, but that's not a given that they get that, you know, that they get in and they score a touchdown. Curtis, what do you got to say about that?
Well, you guys have heard me say this before on this show, that I think Robert Kraft is the guy that signs the checks for the referees in the NFL.
Uh-oh.
I had that argument with a guy in a bar, and you know I knew an NFL referee, and he knows four of them from this city here in Portland, Oregon, and he's emphatic that that's not the case. But he did have to admit when Roger Goodell's in town, you want to know whose box Roger Goodell is in? When
he's in the
Super Bowl, or when he's, you know, in the playoff game, what box is Roger Goodell in? So I don't think I'm too far off about what referee who's signing those checks. I really don't. And I'm going to tell you guys something. If you guys are going to witness a Thanksgiving massacre in Buffalo Beach, the Cowboys, tomorrow, on Friday, Chance and Garrett will be gone.
Oh, wow.
Jerry's talking about he doesn't have any problem signing a check.
Wow, he just want to win.
And he blames that loss on special teams. And he says special teams is coaching.
That's true.
But you know, another thing I heard that I thought was kind of funny, I guess I was wrong on that show that started this. When you're a Patriot, you play in snowstorms. You play, in the driving rainstorms. Somebody said that Belichick takes a hose out in a rainy day and wets down the ball even more. And then Tom Brady go out there and try to throw bullets. Yep. And Gronk was teasing the Cowboys. Gronk was saying, Jerry probably says, a little rain is down. You guys, let's go in and get a popsicle. I hate to say, but, you know, that they wasn't ready for that. It was a sloppy game. I mean, it's a surprise, though. Zeke got over 100 yards rushing. But they couldn't get in the end zone. And that toe drag that didn't happen in the end zone for Dallas was amazing. Witten dropped a couple of passes that were amazing. But, Jerry's mad. And Jerry's mad for a lot of fans, including me. And I don't – the thing about can Belichick be a Cowboy coach, the answer is no.
Of course not.
Yeah, he can.
A lot of people, and I've been saying it for a while.
Jerry won't like that.
Yeah. Mm-mm. No, I mean, you got the owner, Jerry, micromanaging every damn thing. And when you're a player for a Cowboy, you're probably pretty confused of who the coach is. I think you really are.
Well, if there is a coaching change, Urban Meyer's name has been mentioned quite a bit too, and they did some sort of poll on one of these podcasts earlier a couple days ago, and his name was the number one name that popped up. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. There's got to be a change somewhere because they're not getting it. I didn't agree with kicking a field goal. I didn't agree with that call. That's coaching. So I'm a little disappointed. I know Curtis is. Curtis wanted to.
I lost $55. to two different people. And that girl that I was talking about.
$55 to two different people? So is that a total of 110 or what?
No. The girl that I always talk about. You know, she texted me on Friday, and she wanted, and it's a surprise. She usually doesn't vet me on regular season. She put up five, and then I was on the phone to one of my friends right before the game. He goes, I got to get off the phone. I got to watch this game. I said, I didn't know you were a Cowboy fan. He says he's not. He goes, well, I'll bet you $50 that he's a Patriots fan. So, that guy being a Patriots fan, I'm not sure he can stay being a friend of mine. Especially now that he beat me out of $50. That might be the end of our friendship.
Come on, man. You made the bet.
Hey, let me tell you something. You never bet against the Patriots. something always happens. Whether it's the flake gate, whether it's the referees that get the calls. Now, don't get me wrong, the Patriots are good, but they just also seem to have the best of luck on their side, too. And so the combination of those two things, he's never been against the Patriots. I mean, right now, I think clearly, I just told somebody this yesterday. I said, the Ravens look like the best team in the league by far right now. But I said, come playoff time, Patriots might still find a way to get to the Super Bowl. And the Ravens clearly look like the best team in the AFC right now. But so am I going to bet against the Patriots? No way.
Well, I tell you this to your point. Those tripping calls are ridiculous. They're ridiculous. I mean, when you hear Troy Aikman, I know he's got a little homer, but he, like, really took Mike Pereira and was like, nah, bro, those calls are bad. I know you don't want to talk bad about the refs, but those are bad calls. And I hear you, what you're saying, Gary, that you can't say that that's going to lead to a win. But, man, you stopped some drives where you had a chance to do something in that weather, and those calls are just egregious. But I understand what Jerry Jones is saying. They're not winning against good teams. They're winning against bad teams. When they play a good team, they lose. So if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm looking at my head coach, but you kept him. When everybody told you Jason Garrett wasn't that dude, you kept keeping him. So what I will say to you is that I think Belichick could coach in Dallas because he hasn't had a guy like Belichick because he had Jimmy Johnson. And he ruined that partnership with Jimmy Johnson, and he knows it. And then but I heard a story about Bill Belichick telling him when he got fired in Cleveland, hey, don't forget about me, and he forgot about him, and then he went on to New England and have all the success we're talking about. I think Bill Belichick could coach in Dallas. I think that Jerry would get out the way for somebody like that because he saw what happened the last time he interfered, and he ruined the dynasty. So I think that could happen. But Dallas has got to find a way to play a good team and get a win. And it just can't be you beat up on the little sisters of the poor and then you play a good team and you lose. It's got to be you being able to go in and play the same kind of game against a good team or a bad team, whether it's sunny or rainy. If I'm cutting all these checks, Amari wants his money. Dak got his money. You know, I mean, Zeke got his money. Dak wants to get his money. Like, if I'm paying all these checks, we can't be 6-5. Like, that can't be what it is. So I get why he's frustrated. And you're right, coaching, special teams, decisions on field goals. Those are all valid points. For this time, I'm going to agree with Jerry Jones. You got to be looking like, dude, I messed up with Jimmy Johnson. I didn't get Bill Belichick when he was out there floating. Of course, he didn't know Bill Belichick was going to turn into Bill Belichick. But now you stay with Jason Garrett probably too long. He might be at his wit's end at this point. It might have took him a little bit longer than it took everybody else to reach that point. But he might finally be there like, Jason Garrett's just not that guy. And me trying to be the coach and the GM and the owner is not working because we only be bad teams and we don't be good teams. We got to make a change. So, we'll see, but I don't know if firing him in season, because who are you going to get? Like, Urban Meyer talked about how good of a job the Dallas is, and Dallas is a fantastic job. It's one of the best jobs in America. So, you know, you got that on your side with Jerry Jones.
Because you got to work with Jerry Jones. That's a challenge, straight up. Right? You know,
but
he's going to
spend
the money.
He's going to spend the money, though.
And I don't think Urban Meyer's the answer. I'm not convinced Urban Meyer can coach in the National Football League. I'm not convinced of that. I'm not convinced he's an NFL coach. It's not for everyone. You know, it wasn't even for Nick Saban. And I would actually bet that Lincoln Riley will be a better NFL coach than Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is probably a better college coach than Lincoln Riley is. But I would bet that Lincoln Riley will be a better head coach in the National Football League than Urban Meyer would be. And JQ, you said that well as far as the Cowboys and, you know, what they're going through this year. They haven't beat an elite team. They haven't beat a team with a winning record. And their division is poo. The NFC East is just flat-out poo. Let's just be honest. And, I mean, the only way Jason Garrett keeps that job is if they somehow make a deep playoff run or at least make it to the NFC Championship game, in my opinion. I think that's the only way he gets to keep that job. Now, they still have a very good shot of winning that division. But if you look at the Eagles are playing like poo. But the Eagles' schedule is a lot weaker than the Cowboys down in the last five games here. So, I mean, you can't really count them out from winning the division. And so the Cowboys are in some deep shit right now. And then you go back to the officiating. I'm sorry. And, you know, y'all go, You know, I know we can go back and talk about the NFC Championship game. And I got a good friend. One of my best friends here. One of my best friends here is an NFL referee. So, you know, I try to not to, you know, a whole lot of disrespect. And I know their job is not easy. But the officiating has been atrocious this season. It has been atrocious in a lot of football games this season. These guys need to be full-time. These NFL officials need to be full-time referees and focus on the game year-round for them to be effective. There's no excuse for the amount of money the NFL is making that these guys are not full-time. There's just too many damn mistakes that's costing, that's affecting a lot of these games. And the integrity of the league is at a horrible state right now. These guys need to be full-time refs, just like the NBA, just like Major League Baseball. There's just a lot. And Gary, you said it best. It doesn't mean they would have won the game, but they certainly lost out on the opportunity for having a chance to. That was horrible. And it's not just that game. I mean, I've seen it almost every week in the NFL. We just see a constant number of bad calls from referees, or no calls, that is. They need to be full-time officials.
Another thing that I heard on talk radio this week, Harrison, the guy that used to be with Pittsburgh, he said, you know, in the middle of the season, he was telling a story about him being traded to the Patriots in the middle of the season this December. So he's just getting there, and he's saying, you know, he's trying to go through their playbook. He's having a little trouble going through their playbook. It's 10 o'clock at night. He calls up Bill Belichick, and he says, Bill, I'm having a little trouble trying to figure out this playbook. And Bill says, you know, what trouble are you having? Why don't you come on down to the facility? It's 10:15 at night. And Harrison goes, well, are you down there? And Belichick says, we're all down here. He says, that's the difference between the Patriots. People do their time on the other teams he's been with, and, you know, 6-7, they're going home. The Patriots, they spend more time. He says they have meetings to have meetings.
Well, you got to be able to get up in front of that microphone and lie about all this cheating and stuff. There's a lot that they got to work on.
I love it. The shots are coming in. Hey,
that was for Curtis.
Yeah, that's all good. But it is funny because, I mean, if that was your squad, I mean, you probably have a different, you know, perspective of that. But it is interesting to see. There's interesting articles that I've read. There's a Sports Illustrated about Stephen Gilmore, which is great how he just talked about the feigned Patriot way. And there's a couple things too that, I mean, we talk about coaching because, again, special teams, you know, it was mentioned on the broadcast that, you know, that's definitely something that special teams is huge, and the Patriots, they wouldn't allow that. You hear stuff like that. So it's just, I mean, not to keep picking on you guys, but it's crazy. I do wonder, though, about the next coach who would put up with that, because right now it seems like the next coach would have to put up with Jerry. And I mean that right now because, again, you talked about Jimmy Johnson and the other big, big ego guys. I mean, if you're Jerry Jones, you got to, like, set aside the ego because he wants to be the Cowboys, not Jerry, you know, Jimmy Johnson. That was the biggest thing that I saw from that because he hated that Jimmy Johnson got all of that attention. He's like, well, this is my team, you know, and now he's paying for it. So, again, I'm kind of like, you kind of reap what you sow, bro. So, and, you know, again, it's going to take something drastic for that to happen. But good calls. We showed a lot of love for the Cowboys, if you will, too. So we have some NFL predictions to jump to. But I do want to kind of talk about everyone's kind of thoughts about Lamar Jackson. I know that's kind of like the hot topic right now. But you talk about an amazing story. What a great game next week with the Ravens and the 49ers with the Ravens. It's going to be a great game, too. But I want to get your thoughts on that. Just the fact that it's amazing to see where this guy is at right now. And he's just getting started, it seems like, too. And you talk about the revolutionary thing that's happening with him. But your thoughts about that? You know, first guy to have five touchdown passes as a rookie in the Monday night, in his first Monday night game. Just the Ravens are just like running ragshot against the Super Bowl representative Rams. But again, I know Rob's gonna have another thought about that. It should have been the Saints. But again, tell us your thoughts about the JQ. Kind of kick us off with that.
Yeah, no, he's playing on a whole other level. Like, he's Michael Vick 2.0. Like, if Michael Vick had actually studied the playbook and could throw a soft pass over the middle for 7 yards.
Nah, just calling in.
Or, you know, it's just his ability. He's just a better version than Michael Vick is. And what he's able to do, that spin move versus Bob Bengals a couple weeks ago, just ridiculous to make us look dumb. But he's doing that for everybody, though. And, you know, you got Hollywood Brown catching passes. You got Willie Snead that, you know, Rob is familiar with from his time in New Orleans. You got Mark Ingram again, his time in New Orleans. Like, they just are playing really well. And Marcus Peters is, you know, as much of an idiot that he is, you know, fighting Jalen Ramsey. Like, y'all are both cornerbacks. Why are y'all fighting each other? What are you arguing about? That's stupid. But Marcus Peters has come in and solidified the other side alongside Humphrey, and that secondary is playing better, and they just are a well-tuned machine right now. I was impressed with San Francisco and what they did to Green Bay, but man, it's just really hard to bet against or pick against Baltimore right now until I see them have a couple bad games. Because even if he has one bad game, I'm gonna talk up to well. He was due for one. Like, I need to see him have multiple bad games before I can even think about picking against Baltimore. So I'm going with Baltimore right now. If you could put anybody else on the schedule opposite of Baltimore right now, and I'm going to pick Baltimore.
Yeah, I said it already. I think they're by far right now the best team in the league, and they're doing it in all three phases of the game. We talked about this on last week. I mean, they're able to rush the passer. Their secondary is playing outstanding right now. Their front seven is playing outstanding. The offensive line is playing great. The combination of Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram right now, with both of them running the football. Lamar Jackson, we talked about this throughout the season this year. He's throwing the football accurately as well. He's making smart decisions. And he actually is a student of the game. He loves the game. And what they're doing right now is incredible. And you got to give John Harbaugh a lot of credit, too, because he's a phenomenal football coach as well. And he's a guy that, you know, his background is special teams, too. And that's an element of the game that sometimes we forget about. But that's an element that they're really good at as well. And we put it all together, and they got a solid group of wide receivers. Maybe not great. You know, Marquise Brown, Willie Snead, these are solid guys. And Mark Andrews at the tight end position as well. They just have it right now. They just have it going. And I know we got the top five teams, but I already told you who number one is. And I like them to beat the 49ers, and I like them to beat them by 2 touchdowns.
Wow. All right. Curtis Geary?
All right. Well, first of all, wouldn't this be epic for that city of Baltimore for the last 20 years? You know, they've had to just eat crow for the majority of that against that same team. All these playoff epic losses, and they've had a few themselves, but for the most part, that Patriots team has found a way somehow to eke by. And it would be really awesome to see this team go in there and just put an ass-whipping on this team and end Tom Brady's career with a Baltimore victory.
Wasn't that long ago they'd done it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did it when they won the Super Bowl against San Francisco.
And the other 9 times, they got it handed to them.
Well, I mean, Joe Flacco was the problem. After he had that amazing year where they went and won the Super Bowl, got paid, and never was the same. You got to be proud of them going all in on Lamar Jackson. And you got to go all in on the style of what this team is doing. It's kind of like what they're doing in college a little bit. Especially with the way they eat up the clock and they run that football. I mean, when you're running the football, you're controlling things. And they got a defense that can get you three and out and let that team go back and roll again. But one of my favorite days in football was that time Baltimore went into Gillette Stadium and whooped that butt. And I'm hoping for deja vu again this year. Go into Gillette Stadium and whoop that butt. But, yeah, we got some great games. We got some great, great games. We got some, like I said, there might be a Thanksgiving Day massacre tomorrow. If the Bills beat them Cowboys, oh, my God. And then the Lions are probably going to – the Lions are probably going to lose to the Bears tomorrow. And
– bum fight.
What is that? Is that Chiefs Raiders tomorrow?
Bum fight.
Yeah. Chiefs Raiders at the Chiefs. Yep.
They're tomorrow,
they play
too.
They play Sunday, actually.
They do?
I'm sorry.
Well, who's the third game?
The third game is
Atlanta,
the Saints and the Falcons tomorrow night.
And I will be there for it.
Robert put it down. Congrats, J.K.
What Atlanta team is going to show up? And I got
That's
a sneaky feeling it's going to be the awful Atlanta team. That that Atlanta team doing a little bit of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing on us this football season. But I think they're going to turn into Dr. Jekyll tomorrow.
First thing I heard coming out when I was going shopping, picking up some last-minute stuff, freaking lady at the thing, she was like, "Who dat? Payback." I'm like, man, I ain't got time for this. I'm just going to pick up some groceries. I was like, "Why don't you go back to New Orleans, you yellow-bellied sapsucker?" She's like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah. No, we had some fun." But it was –
That's what you told her? Wow.
It's from a cartoon, man. Yellow Belly Sap Sucker. That was like old school.
Yeah,
those two videos. Somewhere guy in the middle of Ingles.
those rivals like that, it can go any way. That's not a given.
Yeah.
That's not definitely not a given. They're taking it down. They thought it was a given the last time. So they better
Andre, you could talk about any one of his family members, but you can't talk about the Falcons.
No, you can't talk about my family members either, man. But that's called loyalty, but it's all good. But I still fight you, too. I don't care who it is. But, I'm surprised Rob didn't put that game down because, Rob, what does Rob say? He always gives advantage to the home team. So, but we don't know what team is going to show up. And I know Saints going to be ready. They're going to be ready, right? They probably got everything that they thought they were going to get us. And we can lose all the other games, but if we won that game, it'd be all good. I really don't even know, honestly, what's going to happen. So we'll let that one slide. But let's, you guys can comment on that too. But we got to – are you guys cool what Robert said about 49ers and Ravens? What do you think about that one?
Well – I think the Ravens offense, even though I gotta give credit to the Niners because they really have been playing well, but I still give the nod to Baltimore. I think Baltimore's a better team and I don't think that they're gonna be stopped. And I agree with a 2-touchdown or a 17-point victory.
Wow.
I wonder what Jakey's going to say because Jimmy Garoppolo. That's the thing. Go ahead, Rob.
the 49ers they just literally kicked the Green Bay Packers ass that night, and now we're predicting that they're going to lose by 2 touchdowns or 17 points. I mean, that's how scary good the Ravens are right now, and the 49ers just won by 30 points, and we're predicting them to lose by 2 touchdowns against the Ravens. So
they're going to the East Coast, and that weather might be terrible. And you're talking about, I know the San Francisco's got a good defense, but you go into Baltimore, and that weather's nasty, and Garoppolo can't hang on to the ball, and he's throwing bad passes, and Lamar Jackson's still out there slicing you up, spinning and hurling and acting a fool. I mean, you're right, though. The fact that they look so good against Green Bay, and we're like, yeah, no, they ain't going to beat the Ravens. That's how crazy the Ravens have been playing.
Oh, man. Woo, that's going to be a good one. No, and like I said, I think that's the scary – I think They may hang for a little while, but I think I agree with Rob. May kind of pull away to the end, man, because that defense is pretty good. But then maybe I don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo just yet. That's the challenge right now. I mean, he looks all world, but this is gonna be a really good test.
I mean, George Kittle is wide open going down the middle of the field. Like, if that can't be hard to make that throw. I want him to make that throw against that Ravens defense with the things on the line on the road. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he had wide receivers just running butt naked against Green Bay. And you're like, what are y'all doing as a defense, Green Bay? You're like, that's not going to happen against Baltimore.
That's what Shanahan scheme open some guys, man. I'll give Shanahan some credit. He can. His scheme can do some things, man. I'm just being honest, JQ. I'm saying. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying that it's like, you know, whatever, but you got to give him some credit as far as putting his team in good situation. So, again,
Andre got a man crush on Shanahan.
I don't have a man crush. I'm speaking strictly from observant this. Come on, man. It's all good.
Yes, sir. So. He love that dude. He love that dude, Kyle Shanahan. He might name his next dog Kyle. Like, he loves him from Kyle Shanahan. Don't get it twisted.
The next dog going to be Shanahan.
I probably would if I could. I definitely wouldn't. I ain't gonna lie about that. That's true. That's a true statement. Too.
All right. So I went into work and there was this guy. You know, I've seen him in his 49er stuff, but it was just a little hat or a little scarf. And now he's coming in. He's all jerseyed up, hat, scarf, jacket, everything. You know, every day. And I'm like, you know what? I gave him the props. I said they are a good enough team to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. The problem with it is that they're going to get their asses kicked by the Ravens. The guy just walked off.
Nice.
That's my prediction, though.
Yeah, we got you. All right, we got about another bum fight. You know, Bears and Lions, everyone's singing, whatever. That's going to probably Bears probably.
I like the Bears in that one.
Yeah.
I mean, Detroit is starting a third-string quarterback. Yeah, the Bears can't win that game. The third-string quarterback is damn.
Driscoll is starting, right? Yeah, I got you.
And I know they're the road team in that game, but I definitely like the Bears for the exact same reason. Yep. Yeah. Well, third-string quarterback. Unfortunately, Lions started off very competitive this year, but now the injury is starting to take its toll on that team right now. And the Bears are not great, but I think the Lions are in a much worse situation right now.
Mitchell Trubisky has something to tell you about that.
Man, listen.
It was solid this past week. Let's see if you can put together at least two solid games in a row.
They played the Giants. Stop that conversation. They played the Giants. They lose to a third-string quarterback.
And they misusing that nickname because they playing like ants.
Hey, Bills at the Cowboys. Hey, Curtis and Gary, is this a must-win for the Cowboys?
For Jason Garrett.
It is absolutely a must-win. It's a must-win for the Cowboys. To try and keep that lead in the NFC, East, and you got that right. Okay,
I love it.
Okay, right.
I got you.
Jason Garrett better coach his ass off, or he isn't going to get a ride home. He's going to be flying coach on Southwest.
Gary, what's happening today? Gary.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're at home.
They're at home.
Well, he may be flying to.
He may be flying to L.A. to see if he can get that USC job.
That's James Franklin. World Street is that. I keep hearing about James Franklin as far as that job. That's another name that I keep hearing. By the way, for the USC.
But I think the Cowboys gonna respond and win tomorrow. I really do. I think they respond. The Bills have been solid, but I don't think they're as good as their record. I don't think they're as good as an 8-3 football team. Their schedule's been really soft. I like the Cowboys to respond in this game. You got to realize they were competitive in that game against the Patriots. And I think they respond at home tomorrow and beat the Bills. And I think they beat the Bills by 10 points. I think it's going to be like 27-17.
Yeah, I better put some respect on Josh Allen's name. He real quiet, like he's been playing really good ball. He's been a poor man's Lamar Jackson with his rushing ability to keep Buffalo drives
going on third and medium to long. I mean, I'm not saying he's Lamar Jackson, so don't nobody get crazy. He's been a poor man's Lamar Jackson. But quietly, if you watch some of those Bills games, he does things on second and third down, and he extends drives with his legs, and I think he's trying to find that niche. And, you know, I still think the Cowboys win because they just have so much pressure on them. They have to win this game when everybody's watching on Turkey Day. But I don't think it's going to be a walkover. I think Josh Allen makes some more plays with his legs, and people are like, well, wait a minute. Well, damn, Josh Allen is actually playing a little bit. Ooh. But I got to ask Gary what's happening, though, because he's dropped – kicking ass about five times in 45 minutes. I'm trying to figure out what is happening in the Pacific Northwest today. I dig it.
Well,
don't get me wrong. I dig it.
I want to say something here that what I really think is great is if Jason Garrett is fired, and he should be,
wow.
guess who wants him as their head coach?
The Giants?
The New York Football Giants. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I am loving that.
mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
No,
it
just would be more turmoil. And, you know, this year for Cowboy fans, we just don't need this kind of turmoil. In this season, if they lose tomorrow, it's a throwaway season.
No, they can still win the division. Why would it be a throwaway season? They can still win the division, even if they lose tomorrow.
Well,
the Eagles will.
Okay,
Carson Wentz is still hurt.
They're going to extremes.
Let me respond to that.
Fans.
At the beginning of the season, everybody for every team has got their hopped up for their team or whatever. But we were looking at the offensive line, we're looking at the linebackers we had, looking at, Dak taking a step forward in his play and Zeke being monster. This is what we were looking at the beginning of the season. We were not anticipating any of this. So that's why Curtis and I both agree on that. Even if they win the division, it's not that they're going to be one of the top two or three teams in the league like we both thought they would be. They're out.
Yeah, I said it earlier. The only way he keeps his job is if they advance at least into the NFC Championship game. I think that's the only way the Cowboys keep Jason Garrett.
But in order to win the Super Bowl, you have to be in the postseason, right? So you've seen 60 catch fire and as a wild card and catch fire and make it to the Super Bowl. So if they win the division, they won't be a 6 seed, but it's something to be said for being in the tournament. You don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl if you're not in the tournament. So I hear what you're saying. You're not getting that 13-3 that you thought you were going to get, but if they still kind of find a way to find themselves over the course of the season, Jason Garrett be damned, they still have enough talent to be dangerous. So that's why I say don't be so far to write off the season. If you win the division and you get in the tournament, you got a shot because you're in the postseason. You got a shot to win it. Your defense is still not necessarily bad. You got playmakers on offense if they stay healthy. Mark Cooper, I'm looking at you. So I'm just saying don't throw them in the trash. Like, I'm throwing the Bengals in the trash. We haven't won a damn game. Like, that's not – you're talking like you got the Bengals as your team. Like, that's not who you have. Like, y'all still have a chance to go to the playoffs, and if you get there – Dak is doing more with his legs right now. He's definitely, for me, taking a step forward. They just got to find a way to win some other games. But that can happen over these last couple of weeks. So, you know, don't get too frustrated with it because you still got a chance to make the postseason. That's all I'm saying.
I'm saying
there's a lot of ifs. You just went through a lot of ifs. A lot of ifs there. And there shouldn't be no ifs. With the Cowboys.
You know, if you're that team, if you're the Ravens, they believe they can go out and beat anybody. If you're the 49ers, you believe you can beat anybody. If you're the New England Patriots, you know that you and the referees can beat anybody. If you're the Seahawks,
nice.
Russell Wilson can do that. You
nice.
Know, he can lead his team.
You keep Russell from
the referees. Those teams.
Oh my God.
Well, Curtis and I, the reason why we're discussing it is we thought that we were going to be in that mix, and we're nowhere near that. So
I get it. I'm just trying to give you some inspiration, some hope that you're still probably going to make the postseason and you still have a dangerous team. You might not have the record that you thought you were going to have, but the objective is to make the postseason so you can make a Super Bowl run. I still think they have that in them. They just got to figure some stuff out.
There it is.
Well, we thank you. And
Cody,
in the postseason, Curtis and I will send you a Dak Prescott jersey, damn, to you.
Yeah. No, the hell you won't.
He's gonna wear it,
and we will welcome you with open arms in the Cowboy
Nation. No, sir.
No, that's a word.
No, American team.
No, sir.
There's 9 minutes left. That's hilarious. Shout out, and we got
just
about 9 minutes.
Just shout out to y'all. The team y'all have to go against on.
And here's realistic. They win the division, they get a home game. What I don't know, and what I'm scared, where are they going to go? Are they going to go into Green Bay and beat the Green Bay Packers? Are they going to go up to Seattle and beat the Seattle Seahawks? Are they going to go into New Orleans and beat New Orleans?
Yes.
If they go, you know, because they're only going to get one.
Gary,
they're only going to get one home game. So where are they going to go?
Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback.
Yeah, where are they going to go to win a playoff game?
Green Bay.
At
they
the
can go into Green Bay and win a
like
playoff
anywhere.
Game. They can go into Green Bay and win a playoff game.
Yeah.
They can. That Green Bay defense has not been playing great. That Green Bay defense has not been playing great, and that Green Bay offensive line, when they play a really good defensive line or just above average, they begin to ass whoops. If you watch the Green Bay Packers game, if they get to go against a good defensive line, you can. I don't know about New Orleans, I don't know about Seattle, but you can go into Green Bay and get a win. I mean, they're not world beaters. You just saw what happened to them on the road to San Francisco. I mean, and they had to go down to the last play to beat Carolina at Lambeau. So
if it's 3 degrees and it's snowing and all of that, Dallas is not going to Green Bay up there with the people. It better be 50 or 60 degrees for them to have any kind of chance of going up there.
The sky needs to be clear.
The only kind of 3 degrees the Dallas Cowboys want to see is the 3 degrees on Sanford and Son.
Okay.
He's trying to, like, look at Rob. I've been waiting for that joke for a minute. You know you've been waiting for that joke, right? Oh, man. 7 minutes here. Shout out to my boy Eric. He is a – I'm sorry. He's a Raiders fan. He was talking all this junk about Raiders going to beat the Chiefs. So what say you about this? I know they're pretty pissed about what happened, but, you know, what say you about this one, JQ?
They got their doors blown off in New York. Oh, my goodness, Oakland.
Crazy.
Are you serious? I mean, full-blown – doors blown off by the Jets. Just. That was crazy. Like, I didn't see that coming. Like, I thought it was going to be a shootout.
I didn't think
it was going to be a whooping. When Derek Carr gets benched in the beginning of the fourth quarter because they're getting their butt whooped and there's just no point in putting him out there, like, that was eye-opening. But we talked about it with the Jets in the preseason. I felt like the Jets had a decent defense. We just didn't know what we were going to get from Sam Darnold on that offensive line, how healthy Le'Veon Bell was going to be, was going to have any rust. And then he, you know, Sam Darnold had the whole, you know, mono because he's got the hookers down there in Manhattan. So they had a step back early on offense, but they're starting to kind of round in the shape. And they're not going to be world beaters, but that defense is good enough to keep them in games. But, man, I didn't think that Oakland was going to go just shit the bed, for lack of a better term. That was exciting.
I think the Jets are right now a team that nobody wants to face. They've been playing some really good football here the last 2 to 3 weeks. Sam Darnold starting to look like that top five pick that we expected to. He's starting to come into his own. They finally starting to get Le'Veon Bell going. They're getting Robbie Anderson in the passing game, Ryan Griffin at tight end. Offensive line playing well. The defense is playing well. Their team obviously is too little too late, but if you've seen in years past, if teams can get hot at the end of the season, that can kind of carry over to next season. And right now, these are some really pivotal games for the Jets and how they can carry over into next year. They're playing really good right now. But getting back to the Raiders and the Chiefs, definitely I like the Chiefs in this matchup. They get Patrick Mahomes back, and he's playing well as well. The Chiefs' defense has been hit or miss this year, but they played pretty solid here in the last couple of games. But I definitely like the Chiefs. That's a really tough place to go on the road and get a win. And I definitely like the Chiefs in that matchup.
If Sam Darnold could put 34 on the Raiders, what can Patrick Mahomes do? Like, that's all. Yeah, the Chiefs, no question.
Well, I mean, it's a division game, and they did get embarrassed. And Chucky, you know, Chucky doesn't like being embarrassed. So I think that it's a division game. The Raiders are probably going to button it up. What the Chiefs are kind of reminding me of, which is horrible, is those Peyton Manning teams that, you know, Peyton Manning needed to score 35, 38 points every game because his defense was giving up 32 and 34 every game. And this is what the Kansas City Chiefs are. They're kind of turning into that. Where
not
this defense, yeah, not kind of, yeah, that defense, and you know, that was their problem last year. And you would have thought they addressed that last year, and apparently they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, hey,
they certainly tried.
3 minutes.
It still hasn't worked just yet, but they. It's not from a lack of effort. The Chiefs did try to go out and make some moves on the defensive side of the football this offseason, but it's still not transpiring into, you know, from a statistical standpoint yet.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Nice. All right, we got about 3 minutes and 20-something seconds here. I want to get these Spanish shout-outs in, but then I also want to get that highlight, and I want to talk to JQ and Rob because I want to get your specific thoughts. Should LSU be number one over Ohio State? Was that just for talk for us? I'm sure that's some good conversation. And,
well, you know, I've said all along, I'm definitely an LSU fan, but from my eyeball test, I think Ohio State's the best team in the country. I mean, I know they let Penn State back in that game a little bit toward the end, but they still won a football game. Offensively, LSU is the best offensive team in the country. But when you talk about all-around football team, LSU's defense is not what we've used to seeing out of LSU here in the last couple of years. But you still got to try to outscore them, though. But, you know, I think the hope for LSU is you don't run into a defense that can slow you down, because if they do, there'll be trouble, because it's going to be hard for them to stop people.
I'll give my thoughts on the OT. Go ahead and do the fantasy shout-outs.
All right. We're going to move it to the fantasy shout-outs. We're going to start off with fantasy football. League number one, our co-host, JQ, the Ohio Players, had the biggest win of the week, 177.06, to Mickey's Ballers, 26.50. And Casey in Atlanta is in first place in that league. His team, Lions King, at 10-2. How do we only score 26 points?
That's crazy. I don't know.
League
I'll take
number
it,
two.
But I have no idea.
League number two, the biggest winner of the week is Bears Nation. That's Paul in Atlanta. He's at a 165.56 to EP Diablo's 86.32. Fleur Delice is in first place. That's Matthew in Indianapolis. His team is at 10-2. League number three, JQ again, his team had the biggest win of the week. Ohio Players 116.34 to Irvin's team 45.40, and Larry in Houston, Saints Pelicans 23 in first place at 10-2. In league number four, my team, We the Best, had the biggest win of the week, 197.90. The Birds flew south 78.10, and my team, We the Best, also in first place at a 9-3 record. Fantasy basketball, the Druid, that's Aaron in Hartford, Connecticut, his team with an 8-1 victory over Blue Devil All-Stars, and JQ and his team, Ohio Players, in first place with a 33-12 record.
Catch you, JQ.
Those are the
Stay
fantasy
tuned,
shout-outs for the week, and we certainly look forward to another week of competition. Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to go into the OT portion of our show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live. Click on the same link on tomorrow, the rest of the week, and you get the rest of the show. We still got more football, college, and pro that we're going to cover here in the OT portion. Next week, we're going to be back on the air live on Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for our friends in Hawaii, that's going to be 5 p.m. on the island of Hawaii, or the islands of Hawaii. Good night, people.
Mahalo.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
wow.
I don't know
yeah.
why it does that.
And happy Thanksgiving.
It just does that automatically. Yeah, sorry about that. I try to, like, fade it out, and it just has a little, like, little thing, so I will time that better on the ending.
Andre had to wake up himself, man. He was falling asleep, and he pulled the fade bar up high.
I was not falling asleep. I'm sitting looking at it again for the fifth time, and you keep talking, Rob. You're about to be, you know, about to cut off from the show. But let's have some fun with this again. And yeah, so we've already, you know, we've done some, you know, shout outs here. I think I'm not going to talk about these last. I'm trying to look at the last stuff too. I know we want to get you guys out because, well, Thanksgiving, I still, it's been a long day, you know, like that. So happy Thanksgiving to you fellas as well. We didn't shout out to our
yes,
people
sir.
As well too. Yeah, so a lot of love that piece. We have
we
fun with that too. Mother. I told you I sat up there and cooked like two pies and my stuffing before the show. What the hell? Okay, we're going to come back to this.
Yeah, you knew you wouldn't bought one of the patty pies.
Have some Thanksgiving. And, you know, Rob,
I hate you, Rob. Ooh, that's the patty pies, though. You are stupid. Oh. Come on, man. My bad. Go ahead. It's a long one, man. He got
I don't see nothing wrong with
that. I
haven't
had him on the show, huh?
Yeah, I don't see nothing wrong with Walmart's Patty LaBelle sweet potato pie. And I let Patty LaBelle do me.
Like your pie.
Yeah. I also like her pies.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's good stuff. Let's talk about the next predictions here. Go ahead. Browns and Steelers. Go ahead. Go ahead, JT.
Is that for real? Like, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're talking about Devlin Hodges. I mean, you can do that against the Bengals, but you can't do that against a team that actually has some playmakers. I mean, I think if you're Cleveland, this has to be the year that you get some revenge or some get back on constantly being the Steelers beaten back outside of the Bengals as well. So, I mean, I'm gonna go with the Browns. I know that's crazy, but you know, you're in your third string quarterback at this point, and we don't even know if James Conner's gonna play. So you might go in your second or third string running back as well. If you are the Browns, if you can't win this game against Pittsburgh, when can you ever beat them? I'm going to go with the Browns because you have to look yourself in the mirror and say this is our time.
Yeah, and you dominated the Steelers a few weeks ago on Thursday Night Football, and as JQ mentioned, yeah, the Steelers going with a third string quarterback, and I tell you what, Jarvis Landry right now is in quite a groove right now. It seems like every week he's catching 8 to 12 balls and putting them in a position to succeed. They seem like they're starting to get into an offensive groove there in Cleveland right now. And I like them to go on the road and get this win as well. I'm going to go 24-14 Cleveland.
I'm going to go 24-17 Steelers. I think Tomlin is not going to let, and that defense is not going to let them be dominated by the Cleveland Browns down there. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be a tough physical game, and everybody's got to get beyond that mess they did 2 weeks ago. So focus. But Pittsburgh's problem, sometimes it takes a couple of games to figure out that Rudolph is not the guy. And it took Pittsburgh a few games to figure out that Rudolph is not the guy. So I think they're going to be fine, and I think they're going to be fine defensively.
Well, Rudolph is he's busy this time of year. he's going to leave, you know. He's going to leave the sled, you know. He's really.
Whoever this third string dude is probably not the guy either, though.
That is fantastic with Rudolph. You are a mess. You have been clowning all night, Gary. What is happening? It's
Wow.
Happy hour. No, we didn't.
Oh, no wonder.
No, we didn't.
JQ's just a bad influence on a lot of people.
Hey, you can have your own personal happy hour. You ain't got to be nowhere. You can have your own happy hour at the house.
Someone to be thankful for, and, you know, thankful for Carmelo Anthony.
He's finding his leg.
He's sitting in. I mean, it's only a really small, you know, time that he's been with the team. But what does he have tonight for points, Carmelo? I think he's got like
12.
He's got 12 points, but I mean, he's making good passes. He should have more than that. He had several being aggressive, going to the hole, not just settling for a fadeaway jump shots. I'm sorry, he's got 19 points now. So they were happy with the guy like that.
Y'all,
you know, he had 25.
Y'all in trouble.
We got, if you look at it, you got CJ, you got Dame, and you got Carmelo. If all three of them get 30 points, here we go.
And then Whiteside's having a monster game, too.
Well, and boy.
They're kicking the thumb of their heads right now, though.
Yeah.
Which is good. You want, hey, you never know, and I hate that Chris Paul, so.
Wow.
He's good. And
hey,
Whiteside's got 21 and 16, so, you know, hey.
Damn.
This is what we expected out of the Blazers. I mean, you expected to get that kind of contribution out of Whiteside and for them to be playing a lot better than what they started off the season. You know, with that guard play that they have and having Whiteside and you know, and then, of course, when they get Nurkic back, you know, this is what I expected the Blazers to be playing like and being a top-five team there in the Western Conference. And obviously the season is still young and they can get back to that. But this is what we expected of them. But if Carmelo, as you said, you know, I'm being facetious, but if he can come off the bench and kind of just ignite the offense and get you some points and he can play that role, and you may have something there. You may really have something there.
I think he was really humble, right? I mean, nobody wanted him. But Damian and CJ, they've been courting him for 3 years, maybe a little better than that. And he kept, you know, and then they said, hey, let's bring him in. And you're bringing him in on a, you know, just a minimum deal, basically. So it's a great, it's a great thing. And he's so far he's fitting in. We'll see how it goes. I'm liking what I see so far.
And it's the middle ground, right? You can't expect Carmelo to come in and be the savior and be your go-to. That's not going to work because that's not where he is in his career. But to come in and be the third wheel and fill in behind those two guys that you talked about and you get the contributions you expect to get from Whiteside when you got him, like if he fills that role to what you just talked about, Rob, then they still might about it. Then they absolutely have something. You talk about somebody that's making a minimum deal that was an all-star in this league that couldn't get a job. And now he's going to a place where he feels wanted. Like, there's something to be said for happiness and finding your role in the niche when people want you in that particular place. And I think he might have found that in Portland. And I think that's going to help them jumpstart it. You don't always need somebody to come in and get 27 a game to jumpstart your team. But if you get a guy that comes in with a chip on his shoulder and he's challenging everybody to be better and he's doing it himself, you can bring the energy and the collective play of that group up just by his presence. And that's what you're starting to see with him. Can he do it over the course of the season? We'll find out. But right now, so far, so good. A fantastic hit it out of the park signing for Portland.
Yes, I think so, too.
Earlier this week in the West, it was brought to my attention the two bottom teams in the West were the two teams that were in the Western Conference Finals last year.
Yeah. That's
wow.
crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. I didn't realize that, but wow.
Yeah. Good call.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Whew. So
I think the Warriors are
going to
have a shot at getting the number one pick in the draft. And eventually, you know you're going to get Steph Curry healthy. You're going to get Klay Thompson healthy. And D'Angelo Russell. Yeah. It's kind of going to be like how the Spurs fell apart when David Robinson
yep.
got hurt. And then he wound up getting Tim Duncan.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Could be really scary in the next
Lucky.
Couple of years.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That better not happen.
As long as they don't draft LaMelo Ball, like, I still wouldn't draft the ball. He's playing good ball, but I wouldn't want him and his dad nowhere near me. So, if Golden State gets that number one pick, I just can't see the Golden State organization drafting LaMelo Ball. But you're right, though. It's exactly like that with Tim Duncan and David Robinson. And it's like, you know, you better get your shots in on them now because they're going to come back, and they're going to come back with a vengeance. They're going to be a problem again.
Good advice. All right. Hey, let's move on here. Now we got to talk about – I do want to – I know we got rivalry week right around the end of the corner too as well. But let's talk about these top five home field advantages by Rob. And then I guess, guys, again, for the sake of the East Coast, I know we've been having a long day. I'll let you guys wrap up. Kind of pick a topic where you want to go. We'll discuss that, and we'll wrap up another awesome edition talking sports with 12th Man. So start with that, Rob. Your top five home field advantages in the NFL, if you will.
Well, I want to start off with New England, number one. I mean, weird things just happen in that
wow.
stadium. So we're going to start off.
Checks flying to people.
Obviously, you got
to
go
gonna,
back
you're
to
gonna 2001. You're going to go with weird? Wow.
Here, we can go back to 2001 with the Tuck Rule, the snow games, and the home field advantage that they have. I'm going to put them at number one. Obviously, I'm going to put the Superdome number two, New Orleans. Obviously, from a noise standpoint, you know, I haven't been in every NFL stadium, but I still haven't been in one that's louder. Probably the closest one that I could say that comes close was Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. And that's an outdoor
mm-hmm.
stadium when it comes from a noise standpoint. Number three, Arrowhead Stadium, Kansas City, going right into it. I have them in the number three spot. Number four, Green Bay. And normally, especially in the wintertime, that's just an extremely tough place to go and play for most teams in the league. And number five, I had the Baltimore Ravens, and they have a very crazy fan base, too, in a stadium that can get really loud as well.
Oh, man, I got to put Seattle at five, and only because they've lost a couple of games this year. If they had at least one of those games, I would have them higher up on the list because Seattle is where dreams go to die. And the 12th man up there, you know, they just go particularly nuts. So I'm going to still keep Seattle in there. They're just having a little bit of a comeback season in terms of the defense from where they were. But that Seattle
yeah.
atmosphere is just raucous. You talk about registering on the Richter scale with Marshawn Lynch, like that's stupid to register on the Richter scale. They have
they
to
be registered on the Richter scale. It sure did.
Yes.
And that was against New Orleans in a playoff
game. Moving right
game.
Along, next topic.
Well,
you know,
LSU
had a game like that too back in the 1980s. They called it the earthquake game when Tommy Hodson hit Eddie Fuller in the end zone and they beat Auburn 7-6. They were losing Auburn 6-0 and scored a touchdown on the last minute of the game to beat Auburn. And they call it the earthquake game. And it's another game where the crowd noise, you know, registered on a Richter scale, too.
Man, nobody going to care about those 7-6 game over Auburn. If you don't stop, go ahead, man.
Hey, nobody care about that 7-9 team, man, with the Seahawks. They eat.
Yeah.
and this ain't like home field advantage. But I told you guys about, you know, my early days down there in Gulfport, Mississippi, and your LSU team, I think they only won one game. And Alabama had the, you know, the legendary Bear Bryant was coaching. And they were a number one team. And they went in the Baton Rouge, a night game, and they lost. And the two governors, I'm not kidding, because I was in the service then. The two, the governors of Louisiana and the governor of Alabama activated the National Guard. They really did. Boy, Alabama, Bear and Alabama were so damn mad. They were mad.
Wow. Wow. What else do you have to get? What else do you have to add to that, JQ? Rob, you gave us.
I was just gonna pivot to the conversation you had about LSU and Ohio State. I think they're really close. I really do. I think you could flip a coin and you could argue either one, and then people would be like, yeah, you're right. I can see that. Like, I think they're really just that close, and it's crazy that you get a season where you have two teams this deep into it. You feel like it's that close. We're gonna find out because Ohio State still got to play that team up north on Saturday. Ann Arbor, so you know that piece of it is still to be left open. So it may be moot after this. I'm hoping now. Of course, I'm picking Ohio State because there's no way I'm gonna go in here and pick them. I don't give a damn if we're 3-9. I'm still gonna pick Ohio State because that's just who I am. But they got a tough game against them. But you know, when you start looking at terms of the analytics now, you know that Texas win doesn't seem as big as a win for LSU now because of Texas's struggles. I know you talk about the injuries for Texas. But when you look at it now with four losses, Auburn's probably going to end up probably having four losses. So I think when you look at it just on the numbers of Ohio State with a win over Wisconsin, a win over Penn State, Cincinnati is still in the top 20, just inexplicably still in the top 20. Go figure, but they are. So they get credit for that win. So you have that, and then you get another chance if that happens this week against that team that still remain nameless. Then on the numbers, you kind of have to say, yeah, they deserve that not, but it's really thin. I told you, as much as Rob has been crazy this year, as much as Rob has been on Ohio State, Joe Burrow and what he has done for that program and that offense, that all they ever needed, we talked about it year in, year out, all they needed was a quarterback, and they finally got one, and you see what's happening. So to me, it's really razor thin. I hope, that I get a chance to see Ohio State in the Peach Bowl here. We'll see. They got a couple more games left to play. But right now, to me, those two teams, there's them on a tier, and then you drop down to Clemson, and then he dropped, and maybe in Alabama if they had a healthy Tua. But I think Ohio State and LSU are just on a different tier right now.
I know a lot of LSU fans are up in arms about falling from 1-2, and I was like, hold on. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, they if you're going to win it, if you're going to win it all, you're going to have to beat one of those teams in order to do it, or two of those teams to do it, actually. So I was like, it's not that big of a deal. Everything will play itself out when it's all said and done. So I don't really think it's that big of a deal. Me, for one, is not upset at the fact that they moved Ohio State. Because personally, like I said all along, from the eyeball test, Ohio State looked like the more complete team. Like I said, LSU was the best offensive team in the country. There's no doubt about it. Offensively, Auburn probably came the closest to slowing them down, and I really feel like LSU left a lot of points on the field in that game too. Auburn came the closest to slowing LSU down. I mean, you saw what they did to Alabama. I mean, they put up 40 something points. They had 30 something at halftime against Alabama, but the problem is the problem with LSU though is that you can also score on them. And in years past, if we had an offense of putting up 40, 50, 60 points, you would think that we were going to hold you to at least 14.
That's true.
But now, and I think part of it is our offense, LSU's offense, they score so quick now, too. So, other teams are getting more possessions, too. I mean, that's part of it, but also a part of it is the defense is not as good as it's been in years past. Particularly the front seven. The secondary, we got some first-round picks in the secondary, but the front seven is just not what it used to be. And we just don't have an elite pass rusher.
And to your point, LSU jumped number one Ohio State when they beat Alabama, and nobody had a problem with it because at that point in time, before Texas had accrued another loss or two, and you get that Alabama win in your schedule. I said on the show, I thought they should have jumped Ohio State. But they're so close is why you shouldn't necessarily, you're right, Rob, you shouldn't get upset about it. But it's not like it didn't happen in this season to Ohio State where LSU jumped them as well, right? So, you know, that's the committee looking at everything, all the numbers, and saying, okay, right now at this snapshot at this point in time, this is how we feel about it. And you're right. There is no easy wins. If you're getting that top four, you're going to have to play two really good games against two good teams in order to get the title. So one or two, it don't matter.
Yeah, I know a lot of analysts think it's a big deal. I don't necessarily think it's that big of a deal because I don't know if there's a bigger – I don't know if there's a huge difference between Clemson and Georgia or Clemson and Alabama. I really don't think it's a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
I agree.
All right, Chris, great. Pick your topic, and we'll have the – and I know, Jake, if you want to talk about this weekend, that's cool, and then we got to wrap this game up. So go ahead with your really quick – your topic for you guys. Go ahead and speak on that.
Well, what we saw this weekend, we saw Oregon go right out the conversation. And did
yep.
you guys see who's coaching down there at Arizona State? Had
Marvin
Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
okay. I saw that too. And I'm looking at Phil Knight thinking, Phil, I don't know if Crystal Ball's the guy. You might have to come in and go get you a pro football coach, Phil, because – if you look at the coaches in the Pac-12 here, those guys, they're making noise, and it's not pretty. We also saw, and it's going to be the – Washington has a big lock on Washington State up there. So that's called the Apple Cup in Washington. Mm-hmm. And Washington, if they don't win, I would be surprised. They'll be Washington State. And Oregon, I would be surprised if they don't beat Oregon State. And that's in Eugene. It's in Oregon's home for this, what we call a civil war here in Oregon.
It could be on the moon.
But
come on, man. Oregon State is terrible. They're going to beat Oregon State. That's not even going to be close.
Well, you know, that little luster got knocked off of Oregon. You know,
which makes it worse for Oregon State. So they just lost this week, and they're going to come out full guns blazing. Oregon State is in trouble.
It might be snowing down there too.
I don't really care after Oregon went down there and, you know, wet the bed. Now it's like, you know, they could have been in the conversation going in, beating Civil War, and then going in and, you know, playing Utah. And now it's like, you know what? You wet the bed, now just lay in it, and that's your season.
Come on, man. Gary.
But if you look at Utah might have 11 to 14 guys get drafted to the NFL. They got a team of NFL players. Yeah.
They do.
And
you
a lot of those
Jerry,
guys
won't
be like
though.
First and second round picks, but they got a lot of guys on that team that's going to be drafted between the third and seventh round, and probably even quite a few guys that's going to be undrafted free agents that's going to be contributing too. So they are a deep football team, Utah, and that's the Pac-12's only hope right now. But if Oregon would have somehow beat Arizona State, and Oregon and Utah was in that Pac-12 championship game. And they went head-to-head with only one loss. There was a very good chance whoever won that game could have been in the playoffs. And especially if Georgia loses to Georgia Tech, which they're not going to happen, or to LSU in the SEC title game. And Utah still has a chance. They still have a chance. But they have to really hope that Alabama just has – either a close win over Auburn, or they just lose altogether to Auburn for them to really have
you keep
a chance to really get there.
You keep forgetting about the one team, and I keep telling you about them. Oklahoma saved their season when they came back and beat Baylor. If they went out and win that conference championship game
in the Big 12. They're going to sit there with Jalen Hurts and Lincoln Riley that we talked about, Lincoln Riley in this podcast. They're going to be sitting there as the Big 12 champion, and if they get some chaos with, you know, Ohio State stumbling or Alabama stumbling in front of them, don't be surprised if Oklahoma doesn't jump or Utah, because they just don't think they want to put Utah in it. Oklahoma is more of a national brand, and we can all get into the numbers of, you know, matrix and whatnot, so that Utah is a better team. But if they get a chance and they're looking at saying, ooh, are we going to put Utah in the top four or Oklahoma? Come on now. We just talked about paying refs. You don't think that they ain't going to do nothing for Oklahoma over Utah or Alabama right now? I just don't forget about them. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but just don't dismiss them because they're quality. They saved their season by beating Baylor. They really did.
Mike Gundy and that running back going to have something for that ass this weekend.
Yeah, just say he's in the Heisman conversation, so he better come out and perform. I'm just saying, don't forget about people are forgetting about them, and it's like you can't forget about Oklahoma. They're Oklahoma, and they still just have that one loss. And Jalen Hurts was the Heisman front runner before Joe Burrow was just eclipsed him. But early in the season, Jalen Hurts was going nuts.
Yeah.
We were like, well, damn.
I'm still not that impressed with them. I mean, I know they came back. Baylor had them like 31-3 or something like that, and they came back.
Mm-hmm.
Those impressive comeback. I mean, they just barely beat TCU this past weekend. I would not be surprised if Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma. Oklahoma State's at home. I would not be surprised if they beat Oklahoma this weekend.
They better run that ball and keep Jalen Hurts on the sideline. You're right.
Yep.
Run, yeah.
And they got a very good chance of doing that, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the best shot.
Heroic comebacks. All right. Again, how you like looking at your future quarterback there, JQ? Joe Burrow, man, for the Bengals. You like that? You like that?
I want Chase Young. I think Joe Burrow, if you put him on a shitty organization with a shitty offensive line, he's not going to be able to do anything. So what are you going to gain out of it? They have just completely bungled, and I'm using that term on purpose, the whole thing, what they've had happen. If you're going to tank, to trade people, go for Miami Dolphins. Just start trading people and get as many picks as you can get. They're doing that, but they're only going to have one pick in every round. It's going to be at the top of each round, but they're only going to have one pick. It's not going to help them get to where they need to be and help him be that guy for that organization. So I'd rather have Chase Young.
Might,
I think he's just,
and JQ's probably, great. Yeah, that's a really good point, and I would agree with you on that standpoint, is because when you even look at this year's pass draft, when the 49ers get Nick Bosa number two, now that Kyler Murray, I really like the way he's progressing. I really do. But when you look at the impact that Nick Bosa is having with the 49ers,
mm-hmm.
which your strategy with the Bengals probably should be is to take Chase Young. And then with that top pick of the second round, see if you can trade up until the back end of the first round to see if you can get a guy like Tua. He's coming off a major injury. But if he's clear, if his medicals come back clean, he's a guy right now that's trending as that third quarterback that maybe you can trade back into and get.
Agreed. I totally agree with that.
I love it, man.
Don't
take my one dream, man. Chase Young, man. I don't want to hear about that, man. Don't take it. Don't take my dream from it, man. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
I'm just saying.
I would love to see Chase Young get that Heisman Trophy. I'm a big fan of that. Give it to a lineman. Instead of all these quarterbacks getting it.
That's not going to happen.
I'm ordering that jersey the next day. I'm getting the jersey the next day. If he wants to have me, believe it. Believe it. I got my Justin Fields jerseys. I got my Justin Fields jerseys. So I'm ready because I just want to make the Georgia fans mad. So I walk around with the number one jersey, and they're looking at me like, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
So mad.
That's funny. You know what's funny about
that? Your wife's saying, man, you got too many Ohio State jerseys taking up too much space in the closet, man.
Yeah, yep. Yes, she is.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's like, but you know what's funny, though? I was talking about this last week. I don't know why. Georgia should not – they should shut their mouth, man, because – they had Fields. They would have figured out a way to, you know, to keep him, you know, keep him going, keep him on the field. Excuse me. We wouldn't be talking about this. And you see how he's lighting up too, you know. So, you know, that's their loss, man. So, don't cry for me, Georgia, for sure.
No,
is that
I love
all
it.
You want to talk about, JQ? Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
too.
I've already touched on it. You know how I feel about this weekend. And people are like, so there's a bar around the corner that I go to watch the games and kind of hang out. And they're like, are you gonna be up here Saturday?
No, sir.
So you're
going to
first
in
name
my house.
On...
Yeah, you do. I'm going to be at my house by myself with my daughters and my wife, and they're going to probably go to another room because daddy's going to be crazy as hell. I'm living and dying with every single down in every single quarter of that game. I cannot be out for public consumption during that game, during the game. I just can't.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
If we win, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go out and talk some smack. But while the game is going, leave me alone. I'm chilling. I got some Stella. I got some Crown Royal. I'm going to sit in here and watch the game and chill out. And I can't be out with people. Can't do it.
There it is. There it is. There it is. All right, man. It's been awesome. I think everyone hear our things. Rob, you want to go ahead and wrap this up, man?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports with 12th Man. We gave you a full 90 minutes of some great college football, NFL, even kicked it off with a little college basketball. And America, we all love when Duke lose, right? Want to just put a smile on your face?
Yeah, we
love it.
Hey, Rob, and a pep in your step. Not just a smile on your face, and a pep in your step.
Yes,
yes we did.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you have that Denzel Washington walk, man. You know, when you see Duke
lose.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in again to another great edition of Talking Sports to the 12, man. We're going to be back on the air live on Wednesday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss it. We didn't get into the Alabama-Auburn predictions, but Auburn just can't score enough points. So I'm going to have to pick Alabama as much as it hurts me to do so. And, you know, Michigan, win. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be this year, Michigan. I know LSU finally ended it with Alabama, but Ohio State goes on the road and beats Michigan. Wisconsin, Minnesota is going to take the axe this year at home and beat Wisconsin. Oklahoma State, they're going to beat Oklahoma, people. They're going to beat Oklahoma. I came close with calling the Bill upset. Just missed it, but I'm going with Oklahoma State. They're going to beat Oklahoma this week. That's all I have.
Wow.
Good night, people.
Oh, man, I got to take Wisconsin. I got to see Minnesota do it. I got to see them do it. You know, I mean, they had a chance to do it in Iowa, and they lost. And so they're going to be at home, and I get that. They're at home. You know, but they ain't got the babies waving at them like Iowa has. Like, Wisconsin can play defense, and they can run the ball, and they can keep those wide receivers from Minnesota on the bench. So I'm going to go with Wisconsin. I would love for Minnesota to win because I think Ohio State would just mollywop. Minnesota is tough to beat a team a second time. So if Ohio State has to play Wisconsin again, you're going to get a much closer game because Wisconsin's going to be pissed about how they got whooped in the horseshoe. So that's just my two cents on that. We'll see.
They don't have that athlete playing a computer at Ohio State.
Mollywop is the best word ever. What?
They did. They got whooped. They got mollywopped. They got crushed. But when you beat a team like that, you got to play them 4 weeks later. Like, they're going to have us. Yeah,
I'm with you, though. I was waiting to hear what Rob said in the background, too. He's talking junk or something. I don't know what happened. All right. Yeah, again, so for the East Coasters, again, hey, guys, man, have a fantastic Thanksgiving party there. Enjoy that, you know, time with family, friends. Be safe. Please be safe out there, guys. Take plenty of pictures. I know we're a lot to be thankful for, too, man. So, again, let's keep it going. Have it going, fellas. Until next week, we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, man. I'm looking forward to a good game tomorrow. Come on, Atlanta.
Yep.
Don't come out there and shit to bed. I want to see a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah. My Saints should better be motivated after that ass whipping we took a few weeks back. So we got to come out motivated tomorrow.
Yeah, hey, before we
all
go,
all good.
Is Michelle – Is Lattimore going to play?
He's questionable.
Yeah.
He's questionable. But Toronto said that Andrews Pete is out. So our left side of our offensive line is out. But, hey, you know, nobody's going to cry for us. Everybody's got to step up and come out and play.
Yeah, the next man up. Next man up.
Julio's questionable.
Next man up.
It's going to be crazy. Yep. All right, fellas. Have a good one, man.
Good night.
All right, so y'all be